just before he went astray. Knowing his denial was not very far away, Savior gently bowed his head, and then their eyes did meet. Satan had desire to have you, that he may sift you as the wheat. But I have prayed for thee, and I have cried for thee.
Wonderful. I appreciate that. Luke chapter 1. Find Luke's gospel chapter 1 tonight, and we'll jump into the message here. And I'm going to be very, very frank and honest with you. From about 3 o'clock on, my phone went nonstop. I should have turned it off, because from 3 o'clock on till about 4:30, I am zeroing in mentally on the message without my heart and getting it all nailed down. But the Woodman family, you need to pray for Ron and Melanie. They're in a very difficult spot up there where they live. Lots of carnage, fires, destroyed buildings. And Ron was just a little bit concerned to leave his house, and I fully understand that. And I got several calls from him. I got text messages from some of you that are here right now. And so I got totally swept away from that time where I really zero in. So I'm probably going to be stuck to my notes tonight, and maybe that's all right. And I want to bring something that I hope will be a help to us tonight going forward through these next 2 or 3 months. So if you're able to stand, let's honor God's word tonight and begin with following along as I read in Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And I want to draw your attention to those two phrases in verses 8 and 9, the priest's office. And I want to speak tonight on the subject, fulfill your office. Fulfill your office. And you'll get the meaning of the message and the title as we get into it. Let's pray. Father, I do pray that now your Spirit will come and honor us and grace us with his mighty power. There is a lot going in our world right now that could distract our attention from you. God, I plead tonight the blood of Jesus Christ over this service, not only to keep us safe from those on the outside, but Lord, help us to keep our attention and our concentration kept on Thee. And I pray that you will not, Lord, suffer loss tonight of your people being distracted. So I pray that in the power of the Holy Ghost, both speaker and listener will get something to take home with them this evening that will be of great benefit in the weeks and months ahead. And I'll thank you for doing it in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. Be seated. I'll be honest with you. This message is not what I would like to preach about tonight. I would like to vent a little bit. I would like to preach a message that centers around the fact that our country is under assault by the globalist socialist elites. And the social, look folks, this is no protest. I said earlier, this is subsidized anarchy. This is the result of a liberal, godless press, and even more so, a liberal, godless educational system. Especially our secular universities. And if we could be exposed tonight by way of this screen up here and see what they're being taught in universities about capitalism, about socialism and globalism, it would shock us. And that hasn't just started in the last 4 or 5 years. That's been going on now for a long time. This is the product of all of that. Okay? And, they couldn't destroy the country or seemingly so through coronavirus. So now this is underway. They're using young adults, unruly children, to attack our capitalist society. Don't blame this only on black people. Black people are involved. So are white people. So are brown people. Check out their ages. They're unruly children. They're spoiled brats. Even the political leaders are now admitting that many of the violent acts, such as the looting and the arson and the destruction of property, are the work of outsiders. Outsider. That liberal attorney general in Minnesota admitted it. He said they're not even meant for Minnesota. If we had a crystal ball, in fact, from what I understand, I didn't watch the news. I try not to do that on Sunday, but from what I understand from people, Minneapolis has had the quietest day that they've had yet. It's subsidized anarchy. Somebody's paying for all this. And if we had a crystal ball, we could find the money. Maybe it's George Soros. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know whose money is anybody's guess. It's coming from somewhere. And I got one question and one comment, and then I'm going to move on. Has anybody seen any footage or has anybody read any account of what happened prior to George Floyd's apprehension? Because I haven't. I haven't read anything or heard anything that occurred, that, you know, verbatim what occurred before he got arrested. And I'm not saying that anything would be justified. I'm just asking the question. And number two, if what I saw is what happened, then it does raise questions about how it was handled. It was mishandled. And I think any law officer, honest law officer, would tell you that. But we don't know the whole story, folks. We don't know. The answer on how to handle this is not found in how it's being handled. You know, everyone says, well, Martin Luther King would not have handled it this way. Well, maybe not, but I will tell you this. What one does in moderation, someone else does in excess. This is a shame. It is wrong. It is not a mature, sensible way to handle a situation. It's not protest. It's anarchy. And if I let myself go, I would, but that's the end of it. According to my notes, that's it right there. All right. So, poof, I got that off. And if you're mad at me, don't say anything, okay? So, now, let's go to the text. All right? From our text tonight, and what a terrible night it is to have a president of a Bible college in our service. Because homiletically, I would categorize this as probably spiritualizing this context. I want to make a simple, but I hope profound application for us tonight from this little story, because there's a thread of truth here that runs through the whole Bible, and I want to emphasize that little thread of truth. In verses 8 and 9 that we read just a moment ago, it's a reference to Zacharias. He's the soon-to-be father of John the Baptist. He was a priest after the course of Abijah or Abiah. He was married to a woman of the family of Aaron named Elizabeth, and of course soon John the Baptist would come into their marriage, their home. I want you to notice the words in verses 8 and 9. Executed. Order. Course. course again, verse number 9, custom, and then the word lot. Executed in verse 8, order in verse 8, course in verse 8, custom in verse 9, office in verse number 9, and then lot in verse number 9. Now, all of these words are used to describe Zacharias' normal routine. He was responsible to execute the duties of a priest in the normal order of a priest's routine. And that routine involved certain responsibilities that had to be fulfilled to fulfill the office of a priest. So, to make it very simple, Zacharias was doing what he was supposed to be doing, how he was supposed to be doing it, when he was supposed to be doing it. He was fulfilling his office. Now, when you read those two verses, and especially pay attention to those words, executed, order, course, custom, lot, does anybody besides me hear the words schedule, structure, order? Schedule, structure, order. And people, this is one clear matter that is found all through the Word of God. If God is anything, He is schedule, He is structure, and He is order. If He's anything, there is schedule, there is structure, there is order in creation. Think of the solar system with its orbits and how the schedule, structure, and order of those orbits affects life here on earth. I'm talking about animal life. I'm talking about plant life. I'm talking about human life. I'm talking about there's order, structure, schedule in our solar system. There is schedule and structure and order in nature. There are seasons and times, and nature functions pretty much on schedule with some sort of structure and order. Hold your finger here in Luke 1 and look with me at Psalm 104. Let's turn back to Psalm 104 tonight. This is not going to be a lengthy message, and I'll get you on your way in good time. But I want you to notice this whole psalm, Psalm 104 is a tremendous psalm, but I want to show you verses 19 through 24. And when you think about order, structure, schedule here, okay? Now look at verse number 19. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. The sun doesn't do what it does at its own will. It does the will of God. You know what the sun does? It fulfills its office. That's what it does. Look at verse 20. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. Yep. The creeps creep forth at night. Got a relative Bible right today. Amen. But seriously, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. Most of the beasts of the forest are nocturnal. They move at night. Look at verse number 21. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth. They gather themselves together and lay them down in their dens. Can anybody read structure, schedule, order? Look at verse number 23. Man goeth forth unto his work. Hello? Man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening. And then he goes home and stays home and goes to bed. He doesn't creep around at night throwing furniture through store windows. O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. I'm just saying, folks, that order, structure, schedule, you find it all throughout the Bible. You find it in the solar system. You find it in nature. There is schedule, structure, and order in family, in church, and in business. We could go on and on, but I think you get the picture here. Schedule, structure, order. And the reason for schedule, structure, and order in all of life is because the one who created all life is a God of schedule and structure and order. Now, does God do random at times? Yes, He does. He's God. He can do what He wants, when He wants, how He wants. He does random at times. The wind blows where it listeth. We have no control over that. But the Bible makes it clear that God is orderly. He is not the author of confusion. Now listen very carefully. We don't know all that was going on in Zacharias' world at the time of this writing. I mentioned this morning that they were under heavy-handed Roman rule. Right now in Luke chapter 1, they are under heavy-handed Roman rule. The Jewish people and the Roman government did not get along in harmony. The Jews felt oppressed and suppressed. And that's why many of them, when they heard the Messiah had arrived, they were looking to be saved from the Roman government, not their sins. And when Jesus came talking about the fact that they needed to be saved from their sins, we want nothing to do with that. Throw these heavy-handed oppressors away. Throw them off our back and then we'll talk. Now, that's what was going on in Zacharias' day, if you want to call it politically. Along with that, Zacharias and his wife had no children. In Jewish culture, this was devastating. It was painful. It was heartbreaking. It was extremely disappointing. Spiritually, the Jewish people had not had a revelation from God in approximately 400 years. 400 years, people. There had been no voice from on high bringing revealed truth to their ears. 400 years since a prophet had last said to them, "Thus saith the Lord." Now, are you with me tonight? Are you listening? So politically and personally and spiritually, Zacharias has all these difficulties going on in his life. But what is Zacharias doing? I'm going to tell you. Schedule, structure, order. He was fulfilling the office of priest. He was doing what he was supposed to do, how he was supposed to do it, when he was supposed to do it. And people, the safest way for any person to live in this world, no matter what's going on around us, is with schedule and structure and order. That's how God created it. And that's the safest place, the safest way for you and me to live. Now think about these things. Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, they came off the ark. For how many days? Is it 150 days they've been on that ark? I forget exactly the number, but I think it was. For 150 days they were been on that ark, maybe longer. They came off that ark. As far as we know, no trouble on the ark. They come off the ark, and in no time, they came off the ark to an unscheduled, unstructured, possibly no order in their routine. And Ham gets in trouble. It didn't take any time. After all that time on the ark, think about this. Lot changed locations. And soon after he was away from his scheduled, structured, orderly routine, he was sitting in the gate of Sodom. Now think about that. David was out of the scheduled, structured, orderly routine of the king's office when he did not go forth to battle. And soon, he's in trouble. Elijah fled the structure, the schedule, the order of the prophet's office after Jezebel's threat. And soon, he was under a juniper tree asking God to take his life. Jonah fled the schedule, the structure, and the order of a prophet's office. And he was on his way to the belly of a whale in no time. Now look, we know that Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah went to Babylon and did well. But how many other Jewish boys were taken from the structure, the schedule, and the order of daily life, and soon they were drinking the king's wine and eating the king's meat? And if you think longer and harder, you probably can come up with more examples. Now, here's my application tonight, Tom. I have nothing coming from this box again, and I am really exerting my voice. If you can help me, I can feel it starting to go. Now, here's my application. People are at their safest when there is schedule, structure, and order. And hear me, in my opinion, we are not in the safest situation, particularly in the realm of the spiritual right now. Some are not in the safest situation in the realm of work because of events beyond our control. Some families are not in the safest situation because schedule, structure, and order have been turned upside down, inside out. For example, many of our families had the schedule, structure, and order of school turned upside down in the middle of March. Those of you who homeschool, you had nothing to adjust. It's no different for us. We're schooling at home. You've done it for a long time. But for those whose kids were used to the schedule, structure, order of a classroom school setting, it was a challenge. Brother Bragg, we sat the other day and went over it. And it was obvious that the majority of the kids did not do as well on their grades as they normally would have done. I'm not throwing you under the bus tonight. I'm not your school parents. I'm not chastising you. I'm just simply saying, folks, the safest way to live at home, at work, at church, spiritually, the safest way to live is with schedule and structure and order. It's the safest way to live. So I said, I get so sick of the routine. Never get sick of the routine. The routine is your safety net. It's your friend. Sunday school teachers are not studying for lessons. This is why I think we're in a less than safe situation. Sunday school teachers are not studying for lessons. Choir members are not practicing songs. Bus captains and workers are not serving kids with an animated bus program. King's Kids children are not committing verses to memory, Brother Liga. Teens are not gathering for activities in person. We are not meeting in our normal auditorium. On and on and on I could go. Schedule, structure, orderly has been turned upside down. And folks, you can't just be flippant about it and say, I'll be okay. You won't be okay. The safest way to live is with schedule, structure, and order. Now it's summertime. Summertime brings its own set of temptation. Summertime brings its own set of difficulty. And a lot of times, it's built around the fact that there's less schedule, less structure, and less order. And I don't have the greatest of news at this time right now. There are no in-person youth conferences that are going to be held. Youth camps, including football camp in the state of Illinois, have been closed. Kite River is closed for the summer. Football camp is closed. You know, vacation Bible schools, I don't know. And I said earlier, give us a little time. We are discussing the possibility of a couple of activities for kids and possibly even outreach in the neighborhoods through neighborhood Bible time, vacation Bible school type settings in parks or whatever. We're going to do what we can, folks. We're going to try to do what we can to keep doing something for the Lord in the area. Okay? It's just in the process now of being put together. I got a lot of stuff to look at this week that Brother Allen has put together, and we've been talking about it. Family vacations are kind of up in the air. So what's happened here? Watch this. The time of the year that is less scheduled, less structured, and less orderly is even lesser scheduled, lesser structured, and less, more, what would I say, and less orderly. Even more so. I'm just simply saying tonight, this is dangerous. Well, I kind of like this freelance stuff. It's dangerous. It's no good. The sun doesn't freelance. The moon doesn't freelance. Planet Earth doesn't freelance. No, sir. The plant kingdom doesn't freelance. The animal kingdom doesn't freelance. All of it happens according to schedule, structure, order. Schedule, structure, order. Schedule, structure, order. But then you and I, we can just do what we want when we want, freestyle? I don't think so. I think we're begging for trouble when we do that. We face life that way. So what do you do? What do you do? Recognize what you are supposed to be doing personally as a born-again child of God, no matter your age. Do what you're supposed to do, how you're supposed to do it, when you are supposed to do it. Fulfill your office. Fulfill your office spiritually. Fulfill your office as a dad. Fulfill your office as a mom. Fulfill your office as an employee, whether you're working from home or working on work property. It makes no difference. Fulfill your office as an employee. Fulfill your office as a boss or a supervisor. Fulfill your office as a child or teenager. Fulfill your office as a Christian. Do what you're supposed to do, when you're supposed to do it, how you're supposed to do it. Don't freelance. That's dangerous. That's less than safe. Maybe not all the things that we were used to doing can be done as of now, but there are many things that we can do that are better done with schedule, structure, and order. We went down to see Pete and Leah, and we were going to go on June the 8th. Joyce, I was working in the garage Monday, Memorial Day. We had thought about going Memorial Day week and decided not to. She said, "Let's go to Memphis." And I said, "Yeah, let's go. Phone, listen." And she said, "No, let's not go." And I said, "Yes, we're going." I don't know if y'all are ever like that or not. So we went, and I'm so glad we went. It had been 17 months since I'd been there, and Joyce has been down once, and it was just good to go and see them and the three boys. They have now. She has three boys, ages 4 1/2 and under. And I was sitting there talking to her after the boys were all put to bed. We were sitting one night talking. Marcus is 4 1/2, isn't he? He'll be 5 this fall. Yeah. So I said, "Leah, you are busy." And that's an understatement. I said, "How do you make everything work?" And she didn't say schedule, structure, order. But she began talking, and in so many words, that's what she told Joyce and me. We have schedule, we have structure, we have order. Now, believe you me, it's sometimes far from perfect. But they have an outline of how they're going to do things on Monday and what they're going to do on Monday. And Pete's away at the church. And Leah, from this time to this time, we do this. And from this time to this time, we do this. And from this time to this time, we do this. And I sat and listened to a little boy quote Psalm 23 and quote other passages of Scripture. They're not in King's Kids. They're learning that at home. Quoting the Scripture. Jake and Jana were just down there visiting them with Hadley and Avery. And they can tell you that it's not a complete, scheduled, structured, orderly situation. But they've got the outline of it. And people, that's safe. Moms, you don't have to pull your hair out. "I don't know what I'm going to do. I've just got these kids at home all summer, and there's no camps and there's no conference." And look, I can't tell you how to order and schedule and structure your home. That's your office. Fulfill it. Work it out. Figure it out. What can we do? Dad, jump in. Help. You can't just walk away from it and leave it on your wife all summer. These are unusual times. You and I cannot change the world's overreaction to COVID-19. We cannot change the turmoil in our country. We cannot change God's plan that is on time and advancing as He wills it. And as much as we'd like to blame all of this, a subsidized anarchy on George Soros or somebody else, don't forget, folks, that there is a God seated on the throne of heaven that is allowing all of this to happen. Every bit of it. We can't change all that. But come on, folks. We can fulfill our office. We can do that. We can get that done with God's help. We can get that done with God's strength. We can get that done with God's power. We need to fulfill our office as a child of God in our responsibility to our Bible, in our responsibility to prayer, in our responsibility to be at the assembly when the doors are open, to be involved in as much as we can and to do things for others. Look, fulfill your office. And if you're going to fulfill your office, you're going to do a lot better job fulfilling it if you do it with schedule and structure and order. Now, I don't know the exact details of how my day tomorrow is going to unfold. But I have an idea in my mind already on what needs to happen tomorrow and when it needs to happen and how it needs to happen. In my mind, there is a schedule, there is a structure, there is an order. I have already put some things on the calendar for Tuesday because I know on Monday I'm not going to have time to get to them. So Tuesday, this is going to get done. And then Wednesday, this. And there's got to be some schedule, some structure, some order. That's my office. I'm trying to fulfill it. Now you fulfill yours. Structure. Schedule. Order. For some of you men, it's not real difficult. You've got to be at work at a certain time, and you're off work at a certain time. But fellas, when you go off work at the job for making money, please don't go off work at home. Be involved with your wife. Be involved with your kids. Play with them. Take them to a fishing hole, dads. Do something. But somehow, some way, develop some schedule, some structure, some order. I know this is homiletically speaking. This is probably over-spiritualizing this passage of Scripture. And it's not a lot as far as delivery goes. But I got a burden on my heart tonight for the well-being of our people, of Faith Baptist Church. And I'm going to tell you, folks, freestyling is dangerous in life. Now you got some responsibility. Every person in this room, fulfill it. Fulfill it to the very best of your ability. You say, well, I know the world's crazy. Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King, Martin Luther, the reformer. He said this, even if I knew that tomorrow the world would go to pieces, I would still pay my debts and plant my apple tree. Know what he was saying? I can't change what's going on in the world, but I can fulfill my office. Now let me fulfill my office, and you fulfill yours. No matter what, you cannot get paralyzed with fear about what's going on all over this country and this world. You cannot. You got to work to fulfill your office, and you will do that much better with schedule, structure, and order. Do the best you can. It won't always be right, but the closer you get to schedule, structure, and order, the safer your life will be. Amen and amen. Now, some of you drove a ways to get here tonight. That's not the normal type message or delivery for a Sunday evening, but I hope you absorb this. And I hope you go home and put it into practice. I believe if you do, it'll be well worth your time coming here tonight. Schedule, structure, order. Fulfill your office. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I'm not sure why you put this on my heart, but it just has been there. Lord, there's a lot of things that we cannot change when it comes to our world right now, our country. A lot of things about your plan we couldn't change if we wanted to. You're in charge. But Lord, we can pay our debts and plant our apple trees. We can do what we're supposed to do, when we're supposed to do it, how we're supposed to do it. We can fulfill our office. And I pray tonight, God, that you'll help every man, every woman, every young adult, teenager, every child over these next several weeks and months to develop some set of order, schedule, structure in life so that we can, as Zacharias did, fulfill our office. Speak to our hearts tonight. Help us to take this practical truth home and put it to work. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I wonder who would say tonight, Pastor, that makes sense. Not only does it make sense, I see it from Scripture, and I need to get busy. I need to go to work on structure, schedule, and order in my home, in my personal life. I need to get some things squared away and be safe. God spoke to my heart tonight about this. Would you slip your hand in the air if that's you tonight, wherever you may be sitting? I appreciate it. Thank you very, very much. I appreciate it. Wonderful. I hope that you will, folks. I hope that you'll take it home and put it to work. Structure, schedule, order, figure it out. Okay? Don't go into these next 2 months in despair. No, don't do that. Figure it out. God will help you to fulfill your office. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, the invitation is always open for you to come and be saved. I'm going to ask one of the fellows to come and stand in the front down here for the invitation. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And you can turn your chair into an altar. You can take a couple of steps this direction. You can come and pray here if you'd like to. As the invitation begins, you respond as the Lord spoke to your heart tonight. Be wary of freelance and freestyle. Schedule, order, that's your friend. That's your safety net. That kind of approach to life will help you fulfill your office. So don't throw in the towel. Don't throw in the towel in despair. Get the job done. Fulfill your office through the power of the Holy Spirit, helping you, working with you, through you. While we wait, you let the Lord work in your heart tonight.